And we are back again, two episodes in 1 week. Who are these guys? What's up? What's up, Mitchell and Matt?
What's up?
Hey.
We have the full crew today, and we have a very interesting format. Are we going to do the recap of Nova? No, not yet. We're saving that for another episode. If you think about it, though, six times three, that's an 18-game bat report. We need a couple hours to dedicate and to go through that properly, I think. So we'll have to wait a hot second. But today's list was born, or today's not list, today's idea was born from Nova, one of our late-night discussions. And I don't know, does somebody want to introduce it, the overall idea?
I think it was coming off one of us where we all three had lost, and we're all like, this is stupid. Who's got to stop us from bringing stupid lists? You know, we need to have someone holding us accountable. That was the idea.
I feel personally attacked because I don't think I brought a stupid list. I think I brought a fun list. But spoiler alert for bat reps that are to come, I can tell you guys right now, if you're interested in Aragorn and Éomer in a 650-point list with Hurin, I wouldn't waste your time. It's quite hard. It is quite hard. It does not work like I thought it was going to work. But yes, so we get a lot of flack from Matt, Mitchell, and I both because we like playing weird lists. Mitchell has the prove everybody wrong syndrome, and I have take stupid hero syndrome. And so Matt said, I'm picking your list for the next tournament. We kind of laughed. And then about an hour later, we're like, actually, this is a great idea. We should have one of the brothers pick another's brother's list. Not only does it, one, remove the idea of trying an interesting idea at a tournament instead of practicing it, but two, it also removes a lot of the list anxiety or indecision that we all have. So that is what we're doing. We decided a brother is going to pick somebody else's list, and we're actually going to do it for Clash. Clash on the Coast is coming up in, what, about a month and a half? Month. And so, yeah, that's the end. But we had to set a few parameters. And so there were some rules to this. You can't go tell somebody to buy 150 ruffians and paint them in a month and ruin their life. So we said one of the three brothers has to have the army, or at least enough of it to where you could actually hobby and model it and get it ready in a month. What else did we say?
It has to be A or S tier in our opinion.
Oh, yes. It has to be from a faction that we all agree is A or S tier. We can run through those. We had to go through all the legendary legions and all the army lists to make sure we all agreed on what made that list. And then what else? Oh, Matt, I think you have this one. It has to be, you have to take into consideration the player strength. So don't do something that is totally new or totally out there where you're having to learn a new tactic or a new play style as well as a new army list, perhaps.
Which I don't know if I technically agree. I wanted to agree with. I wanted to give Marcus the Emperor and see what happens, just to really.
Emperor is legendary.
Yes, Marcus. Coming to Clash near you.
The last rule that we thought was very important is it once a list is submitted, there can be a little bit of editing. And you can lobby. So if a list is handed to you, you can lobby, but you have no veto power, no decision-making power. But you're the third brother does have the ability to recommend changes. So what's an easy example? If you're having a name captain, you know, I'm just going to pick Minas Tirith. If you say Madril, somebody else could lobby for Irulus as a replacement or something. Or if you say 10 Rangers of Gondor, you could lobby for 8 or 12 or something. So there is a little bit of back and forth, but for the large part, what you're handed, you're stuck with. And that gives us about a month of practice. So today, we're going to quickly go through what we decided were A and S tier. And then talk about maybe what we've been lobbying. We've all been submitting tons of lists into the pool. I don't think we're actually going to. We'll see how the end of the podcast goes. We'll see if we cut it off right before we do the big reveal, just to take away a potential competitive advantage. So Yeah, who Mitchell, I say you should run us through really quickly what we came up with for A and S tier armies.
Oh, I do not have the list in front of me. I think Matt has that list, but the idea is it's the typical ones. I mean, the big ones that we all play. I remember there's Mordor, there's Minas Tirith, there's a lot of the legendary legions, the Emperor Legendary Legion, Assault on Lothlorien, et cetera, et cetera. We removed some of the big ones because our biggest takeaway was that you cannot have an A or S that is unproven. So while some lists we think could be A tier or S tier, if it's not proven, then we can't take it, because the idea is we actually wanted to try for Clash. So we're not going to put something out there that we're still trying to prove. It's got to be proven. We got to do well with it. It's got to be great already.
Well, not great already, but there can't be, maybe just to tweak that a little bit, there can't be any controversial idea. So like you could take Boromir of Gondor with the banner, but instead of all Fountain Court Guard spam, which I feel like is a pretty common list, you take like all Minas Tirith knights. You're like, this is gonna be amazing. Fight four knights. No, it might be amazing. We've all been proven wrong. We've all written lists off prematurely. But for this exercise, you got to take something fairly vanilla, fairly non-innovative.
Yeah. Yes. Regretting all it right, already. But, I do have a list.
Mitchell has had the biggest anxiety because he said yes. It was late one night. He was all in the moment. Yeah. And then the next morning, he's like, what have I done? No, because Matt started throwing out ideas of what he's going to give to Mitchell.
Yes.
That was one of the worst ideas I've had.
And the tier list is up on your screen.
Okay, I've got it right here. Yep. So we have... I'll throw out all the others. We'll just go with the ones that are in the A or S tier, in our opinion. So starting off, we have Last Alliance is A. Minas Tirith is A. Fiefdom's Alliance is A. We did put a question mark on the Return of the King Legendary Legion. I don't know if we decided on that one.
Well, that was Marcus was strongly pushing for an A, and it was vetoed by you and I. That's a B tier list.
Okay. So yeah, not in. Yeah, all right. So then
I cry internally.
We have Arnor Rivendell.
Now, hold on. We got to clarify something, because Last Alliance or Return of the King is not always B tier, but we are building this at 800 points is for our tier list on this, so everyone needs to know that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep, everything is at 800 points. Yeah,
and we're gonna roll back right. And clarify slightly. So Last Alliance is Rivendell. Numenor Alliance. There's a lot of options. There's great heroes from both lists. Círdan's always a great drop in that. So that can be built. Several ways to build it, and we all agree that those are generally top tier, top performer lists. Minas Tirith, because there's so many options. We said fiefdoms has to be allied in. There's so many Gondor fiefdoms alliances that are top performers. We said fiefdoms pure didn't make the cut.
Yeah, and yeah, then Arnor, Rivendell, same thing. Must be an alliance for Arnor. We actually have Rivendell by itself as A, which that's
don't
pretty good.
Letters of Théoden.
Is that A? There's no ranking on it, but I guess it is.
Yeah, it's A.
We said A.
Okay, Lothlorien doesn't have a ranking, but I'm going to say probably not A at 800. As much as I love it, I know I'm going to get added quite a lot. I think it has potential, but probably not one of the best lists right off the bat. So here's our first S tier on our list, and it's Angmar. Of course it's Angmar. Has to be Angmar.
Yes.
Angmar is very, very solid. Yep, and especially at 800 points. I feel like that's his best points level, too.
So many tools at 800 points.
Yes, absolutely. And not much counters to it at 800. Then we have Mordor at A. We have the Easterling Dragon Emperor Legendary Legion at S. That's our second S tier list.
Now, controversial, I still think Moria can be A tier at 800, but I was outvoted.
It's inconsistent. I think it can be A, the Legendary Legion specifically. Can it win a tournament reliably? You know, I don't think so. I think you have one bad game with a Balrog rolling, and there goes your tournament.
And well, on, I would never vote for the Balrog. I would say,
yeah,
my vote was A tier monster mash with a bunch of Griblies.
We had there were several armies that fell into this category where I would love playing that list, but we said the rules, especially where there was controversy, if it wasn't a 3-0 vote or even a 2-1 vote, if there was somebody on the fence, you have to point to, have you seen somebody have success recently? And you don't necessarily have to win a tournament, but do you have a winning record consistently playing against, you know, a fairly wide range of opponents and scenarios, et cetera. And I have not seen a pure Moria list,
right,
honestly, in 2 years. There's been right. So many Legendary Legions drop. Everybody navigates, or everybody migrates or gets pulled to those.
Yep. So right now we have it out, but with next is A tier, which is Fell Beings of Mirkwood Legendary Legion. Next A is Serpent Horde and All Alliances. We said Mordor with Serpent Horde is S tier. Corsairs Alliance is A. Thror Alliance is A. Iron Hills A. Erebor Soup is A. Survivors A. I'm thinking that's Alliance. And then we have Thranduil Soup is A. We have Azog Soup is A. And Goblin Town is S.
Yeah, no, we're missing one.
Now, just a few clarifications in there, because the Thror Alliance is a tough one, but that's specifically Thror with Iron Hills built a certain way. So there's only one way that army makes it in. Erebor Soup is, there's just a lot of different ways to build Erebor Reclaimed. And that's, you can do a battle of five armies, you can do a lake town. So that's how it made it in. And then Azog Soup, it was late at night. I think we're talking about specifically Pits of Dol Guldur.
I can't remember. I don't know if we said specifically Pits of Dol Guldur, but I think we all recognize that there have been so many variations where Azog's in the list, and people have had interesting ideas. We wanted to make it A because there's just so much potential. At 800 points, you have four or five ways to build the army, either in the Legendary Legion or in the Legion or in the Hunters. It's just, there's so much variety. We're giving everybody the benefit that you come up with a really good idea. We missed, maybe I cut this picture off. I took a screenshot of the list. I think I might have cut a couple. We don't have AOL. We said right, AOL was A. We said AOL was A-tier. S-tier.
Okay.
I think we said S tier.
Okay.
And then Goblin Town. I don't know if we said that, but yes.
Goblin Town is S. Yes.
I did not cut that off on the picture. So what? Sorry. What other Legendary Legions did we miss? Bjornings. We said Bjornings was A.
Did we? Yes. Yeah, I think so. Still at 800. I think so.
And then, so we got the Legendary Legions out of. Yeah, I think that's everybody. Maybe we missed one or two, but I have a feeling it's not going to impact this.
We basically said after the nerf, I think that means nothing in Warren Rohan made it. Nothing in Quest of the Ringbearer.
Including Marcus's proven Lurtz's Scouts.
Yeah, I was salty about that one, but I will let it go. I will let it go.
Yes. And then we have covered Gondor Ore, and we've covered Defense of the North.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense.
Yep. And of course, just to keep from hurting feelings, we didn't include Scouring of the Shire because nobody wants to hurt the Hobbit's feelings.
I would love it if there was a version of that I've seen win. Okay, so that's essentially the pool again. The list that somebody could get dealt. And I actually messed this up, Matt, because I forgot that as of right now, I'm not sure if your schedule is going to allow you to participate in Clash. So we actually gave you ultimate list making authority for both Mitchell and I. Hopefully your schedule changes and you can make it out. But if not, you're picking both of our lists. And so Mitchell and I have been frantically sending you ideas, trying to sway your perspective. I think you had your list locked in for us Friday night of last week while we were talking about this. But regardless, Mitchell, I think we should give a quick sample of what we've been trying to influence Matt with.
I have three
not like
lists.
The whole list rundown, but like do the basic comp and alliance, etc.
So I have three lists that I was contemplating for Clash. And one of them I thought for sure I was going to do until I stupidly agreed to this. So the big one was the Dragon Emperor. And the one that hurt, obviously it's proven, it's good. The one thing that makes me hesitate is not that I'm trying to, you know, rebuke something that's suddenly good. It's the fact that I think a lot of the people at Clash are anticipating I'm bringing the Dragon Emperor. So that's what's making me hesitate a little bit. But it's still good, and I'm still willing. So that's still one of my first lists. Is probably one of my best lists. Dragon Emperor's typical comp. I think I submitted the same list that I brought to Clash last year, which was Dragon Emperor, Rutabi, Brogir, and a Dragon Knight with a bunch of guys. The second list that I threw out there was my Fel Beings. I love my Fel Beings, especially at 800 points. I get almost all the tricks. At 850, I felt like I got all the tricks. But Fel Beings was my second list, and I have a ton of fun with that. I think I have...
I feel like you must have pulled one over on us. It must have been very late for you to get Fel Beings snuck in there at A tier, but somehow you did.
Yeah, if I lost Lurts to Scouts and Mitchell gets Fel Beings, I call Huey.
I don't understand how this happened, because the whole premise is that there's lists we like that we can make work, but we suffer because instead of taking a really good list, we're taking something that we can make work. And yes, Marcus won Adepticon with a horrible list. That is all player skill and just his desire to flex, which means it's not consistent.
I think it's great. But I got rocked at Articon. I think I went between the 10 games we played. I went 5-5. Yeah, I went 5-5. Maybe 6-4. 5-5.
You started off day one of the GT really well. You were the strongest of the US, and then day two happened.
I just got slapped. Slippity slapped. Okay, so Mitchell, what was your third idea that you're trying to influence and sway Matt's opinion?
The third one I bought and I'm building and painting right now, which is Erebor Reclaimed. It's with old Dayan, young Thorin, and an Iron Hills captain, and then just a bunch of Iron Hills warriors.
Mitchell's been
Mitchell is trying to influence way too much of this. Like, who has won anything with Erebor Reclaimed? How did this make A tier? I love it. It's one of my favorite Mitchell. Lists.
You know how it made A tier, Matt? Because Matt goes, I'm bringing to Clash. I'm bringing old Dan, young Thorin, and a captain, and a bunch of Iron Hills warriors. I was like, I agree with Matt. I think that's brilliant. I think that's A-tier. That's how I
know. Mitchell's been sending panic messages every day. So we're what 1 week away, 1 week since Clash. Mitchell's been sending panic messages every day, asking questions like, "What do you guys think? What do you guys think my best armies are? Like my top five armies that I'm strongest with?" And he was like, "I think they're this." And I finally realized, I was like, Mitchell, you have Iron Hills in this top five list. Have you ever played a game with Iron Hills? And he's like, oh, no, but I know they would be great.
Yeah, I know they would be.
He's top five armies, one army I've never even played.
And we left out a lot of gold on how you get rated on the A or S tier. And one of the things, you've already mentioned a few, but one of the things is, no matter what of the 18 scenarios get called out, you're not worried about it. You're not going to panic. If you have one of 18 scenarios that makes you panic because of the army you brought, it's not an A or an S tier. And that's why most dwarf lists are automatically out, because there's three scenarios that you're automatically on the back foot. I do think if you build Erebor Reclaimed appropriately, that is not the case. So I'm fine with it being an A tier.
Well, that's why I lost Lurts of Scouts, because Lurts of Scouts has such a disadvantage on scenarios that allow your opponent to turtle up.
Yep.
And so you can still win the games, but it you are absolutely playing from a pretty significant disadvantage. Okay, so those were your three lists, Mitchell, that you're trying to influence. What was I trying to influence?
We go there, so there's Mitchell's preference. So what do we think Mitchell's strongest armies are? Of course, he's already included Easterlings. He's very good at Lothlorien. He's very good at Moria, but Moria and Lothlorien didn't make the cut. So what other options are there for A-tier armies that Mitchell plays, Marcus?
Well, he might have pulled one over on us, but I do think his Fel Beans of Mirkwood have done very well. Very high. I think there's two lists that he does really well with, and he scores very high victory points with huge differentials. I'll say one in Fel Beans. And he has played that 800 several times, and again,
done very well.
Huge differentials, playing very strong. And at 800 points, I think Fel Beans gives you an answer to everything. We've seen that they're not super scared about getting shot off the board, and they move so fast. So they're pretty good against heavy shooting armies. They're excellent against the super big heroes because you've got so many paralyzed and bats and so many things to take away your opponent's big heavy hitter. They're extremely mobile with all the spiders and the woodland creature. So yeah, I think he plays Fel Beans very well.
That's true. True.
I'll kick to you before you go.
What was it, Mitchell?
I was going to say you guys were the one that reminded me of Riders of Théoden, but I'm not super hot on that one in this meta.
Yeah, I personally think that is the strongest list you have ever played, because I don't think you have ever lost with it. I think the only games you lost when you brought that to a tournament were when you had to play the evil version, because it was good v. evil, if I'm keeping track.
I've lost with it in practice games. I don't think I've lost with it in a tournament. I think you're right.
Yes.
It hits hard.
And elaborate, why don't you like it right now? You're worried there's too much Fight 5.
There's so much Fight 5, and all your Rohan heroes are Fight 5. And the reason why that list hits so hard is because you have so much might for hero combats, and then guaranteeing winning the combat, getting the kills, that as soon as you have to call strikes every turn instead of combats, and then you're burning might to tie fights and do a roll-off, it sucks. So it bounces real hard.
I have been the biggest advocate that people are overhyping the Fight 5, blah, 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 pay to win. I was like, it's not really that big a deal. And at Nova, I played six games. Five of my six games were against Fight 5 armies or Fight 6 armies. And I didn't play one Dragon Emperor, and I didn't play one Bjornings. That's when I sat back and I was like, ooh, wow, okay. Like, I was not expecting this. There are a lot of Fight 5 armies.
Yeah. There's all this Fight 5.
Fight 5 and Fight 6. The Fight 6, that was tough. So, any other ones, Matt, that come to your mind? I can't remember if we've listed all the ones.
Riders of Théoden was the one I really wanted to bring to prominence for some mysterious reason.
Okay, Mitchell, did we leave anything else off of your lobby? I feel like all I remember is how much you've been trying to plug Iron Hills.
No, you didn't leave anything off. I threw a couple of Mordor lists out there, but I was not serious. I think Fel Beings is better.
On a curious note on that, how many Black Numenoreans do you own, Mitchell?
Zero.
Asking for a friend.
Zero.
All right.
But I could get some. I could.
Okay.
That's going to be over 90 to package. Here's 30. Just no reason. You just probably want to have these on hand.
Put this in your back pocket. All right.
Keep these. All right. Okay. So now on to Marcus.
I was going to say, my armies, I am definitely getting personally attacked in this exercise because I love my hero.
You
ideas,
are the reason
they're super fun. Exercise. I think I might be the reason for this exercise. And we also said, oh, we forgot the big one. We all committed to playing at least two practice games. No matter what happens, no matter what list we're given, we have to play two practice games. Because I've had exactly zero practice games the last like four tournaments that I've played. It definitely shows. But yes, my hero ideas have been very unique lately. And sometimes it works, but everybody has been very aggressive and reminded me it's worked because I've gotten very lucky with my matchups. It's not working because it's just consistently good. So I felt like I would have some list ideas, but all of them would get butchered. So I really tried to tap into I'm going to give you what I think you want and then include just a couple things, like try and sneak them in. Like, we'll you didn't see that one last little addition there. So what did I submit? I think I submitted three, maybe four. I think I submitted four. I submitted one Angmar list. And the big, at 800 points, it's, you know, the Witch King.
You submitted four Angmar lists.
Well, I submitted four different factions. But the one serious Angmar list I submitted a list that doesn't have Birder. And I've gotten heat for having Birder in the past. But I went with a captain and an extra Barrowite to provide a little bit of mobility. Again, trying to hedge against the scenarios where you do need to move quickly, fast. And so, yeah, that was two Barrow Whites, a captain, a Witch King, kitted out with the normal good gear, you know, crown. Not trying to do the no crown list. So you got the crown, the horse, and then Golobar. And if that was one idea, I submitted two Minas Tirith ideas. One was with King Alessar, because I had been having so much fun with Alessar. And I'm not sure if he's actually going to get picked, but I still tried. So it was him with a ton of warriors, no big heroes like I have recently run. So my model count at 800 points with LSR was, I think, 42 to 45. I think it was 43 or 44. And that includes a bolt thrower, again, to try and hedge against the matchups where you're potentially running against Angmar, right? Maybe get some good shooting off and go for an early break. I submitted a Gondor list with Boromir, Captain of the White Tower, and that was the super cliche Boromir with a lot of Fountain Court guard that can go up to fight five. So it's Boromir and his fight five buddies. And then I submitted, maybe this was the last faction I submitted. I still have really enjoyed playing Bjornings. So I submitted 800 point Bjornings, which was just the two bears and 20 Bjornings.
And you also tried to sneak in a Return of the King. You pulled a Mitchell. And
you submitted. Guys, no, like, so Return of the King Legendary Legion. At 800 points, it's Strider with Anduril. It is the King of the Dead. It is a Herald. And, like, 35 Warriors of the Dead, or 33 Warriors of the Dead. And maybe, yeah, I think maybe 33. And there's a couple Cavern there. You have to bring a banner, so you're not giving up banner points. So you've got double banners going on. 33 D8 Warriors plus three pretty solid heroes. I don't know why that wasn't even. I literally got laughed out of the chat. I think that's a great idea.
I made a meme back in April when Marcus took LSR to a tournament, and it was the dude who is hanging off of his girlfriend in the kitchen. It's Marcus and Aragorn. Marcus and Aragorn. Yes.
Aragorn, but then he sees LSR.
Yes.
Strider.
Yes.
All the hate I get for these great
I do think there's potential, but the point is not to prove something for a potential. The point is to bring something really, really good. We may be bored throughout this whole entire tournament playing a Dragon Emperor or anything, whatever it is, but the point is we're going to bring something good.
Exactly. And this shed light on why do each of us play. So I play because I get to hang out with my brothers. Marcus's reason for playing is he secretly finds joy in finding something that everybody says is terrible or you must take if you take a certain army and doing the opposite and then beating people with it. Marcus's only reason, if you ever hear him talk about Boromir, he's like, Boromir with the lance is OP. I'm going to start taking that just because everyone says you have to take Boromir with the banner.
Yes. I just find it so unoriginal. But c'est la vie. I'll stop lamenting my woes.
All right. So, Mitchell, Marcus has submitted Angmar, Bjornings, Return of the King, and Minas Tirith. What factions that Marcus excels at are not represented in this? That could be A tier. I would submit pure Isengard.
Pure Isengard. Ooh, that is a good one for Marcus. He does do well with that. I've also seen him do Last Alliance very well with, like,
Last Alliance,
Elendil and Círdan. That one's very good. I've seen him do I think that would be the only one I'd add to his repertoire that he'd be very good with, his Last Alliance.
Yes, yes. And I'm not trying to be snide, because if people got to watch me on video in a tournament, you'd see I make way more mistakes. But I lost faith in Marcus with his Last Alliance when he kept failing courage tests on that game they publicized in North Carolina. And he had Aura of Command just sitting in his back pocket, never used it. Marcus gets cured at no more.
Your card has been revoked, sir.
Okay, hold on.
Kind of like me not being able to take a Master of Battle model anymore since I played three games and forgot it.
Using Master of Battle.
Wasn't that the game I tabled my opponent?
No, it was the one on the water. Did you win? Yeah, you did wind up winning, but you failed so many courage tests. Yes, yes, you did. You did win quite convincingly, but you would have won even faster had you used Aura of Command.
Yes, that's true. No, I think that's the one where, like, it started out. He lost all of his heroes the first turn because it was a very unfortunate. I won priority, tagged, and then had some very successful hero combats into other people, and. Yeah, I think he lost all of his heroes in the first turn, and it was whittling down the warriors, but he had terrifying warriors, and I wasn't trying to, like, crush the guy's spirit. Like, oh, yeah, one thing you're good at is terror, and I passed all of my tests. I thought the elves were good enough, and yes, I failed a lot of courage tests, and that game went on a couple extra turns.
All right. Anyways, big sidetrack. So Last Alliance, Isengard, anything else, Mitchell?
Not that I can think of. I haven't seen him play with any of the Hobbit era armies, so it's all Lord of the Rings, and those are the ones I've seen him do well with.
I've seen him play with Barad-dûr, and that is definitely not one that falls into the category.
I would agree with that.
That was such a good idea.
Guys, I've got a brilliant idea. I'm going to take Sauron. It's 475 points.
Sauron and the Witch King. Beatable. Sauron and the Witch King. Yeah, 475. That was rough. That was very rough. Faced two Mirkwood elf lists in that freaking tournament. They killed Sauron both games.
That is tough. Now, I think things that would play to Marcus's strengths that is not mentioned and that he has zero history of playing with. Oh, we did also forget the fiefdoms. Marcus is a big fiefdoms player.
Oh, that's a fair point. Call it. Yeah, Marcus.
So we said fiefdoms alliance. Yeah.
Yes. Fiefdoms of Gondor. Yeah. But Goblin Town and Corsairs of Umbar are something that I really would like to see Marcus play. But Marcus doesn't like shooting so much, so the Corsairs are probably not in a front runner.
Mm-hmm. The Corsair crossbows and throwing weapons.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I've been hit too many times with shooting. It's hard for me to really enjoy taking a list that is super heavy into shooting. And if you get the bad board, or if you just have the game where nothing hits, everybody has a game where shooting's amazing and then shooting sucks. I just only ever remember the games where shooting sucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and quite frankly, in this meta right now, you show up against a combination of terror and blinding light, which was not a worry for a long time. But now Rivendell has really popped its head up. So Corsairs, any matchup where they have to come across the board against Círdan-led Rivendell is tough. Tough, tough, tough.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so those are what we were trying to submit for consideration. Again, I think Matt picked our list Friday night as we were talking about this idea. And so I think all of this has fallen on deaf ears, and he's laughing as I say this, which means I'm correct. But we did try to lobby hard. Now here is the drum roll. Mitchell, did we already say which lists we submitted, what other people thought our strengths were? We haven't said which list are we hoping for.
I think I did.
maybe Mitchell mentioned it a few times.
Well, it's only because I'm excited for a new army. Honestly, I'm 100% serious on this. Whatever Matt picks from my three, I'll be happy. I think, as long as I win.
Year three.
I did not commit to picking from year three.
Mitchell's trying hard. As long as you pick from what I allowed you to pick from,
I'll be fine. I'm going to break this pact.
You cannot.
Mitchell has left the chat.
I want to.
So Erebor Reclaimed, which I can, it was, seems extremely fun to drop 38 D8 models on the table at 800 points. Plus you have eight might, one master of battle on a 5+, and one guy that gets a 5+ free might every single time he calls a heroic action. Seems a ton of fun. You get nine crossbows. That seems fun. Dragon Emperor Legendary Legion, obviously good, obviously fun. You know, on, it really is.
If you had to pick one right now, which one would you pick?
Well, it'd be the one I'm hoping for is Erebor Reclaimed, I think. But
Erebor Reclaimed.
I haven't played it.
Unlikely. Maybe, I don't know. Now Mitchell's left the chat.
I also stupidly think I think I know which one Matt's gonna make me play, because he's the one that's been the biggest voice about me being an idiot about it. But I also think Felbings would also be fun to play, because I also have still a grudge about that, people writing that off.
I was expecting Angmar, but if I could pick, I would pick Gondor. And I think I would pick Gondor because I have a decent amount of games played this year, and so it's not something where my two practice games would totally blow me away. I think I've got the idea of use shields on the corner, don't die, you know, play the objectives. So do I know what heroes I'll get in Gondor? No, but I think I'm most excited for Gondor.
Interesting. Now we gotta go through our dreaded reveal, but off camera, because no hints.
Yes.
At least we will have the element of surprise.
We are going to cut this episode into two pieces. We'll release one right before Clash on the Coast. We'll release the reveal part after lists are submitted.
Yeah, because when are lists due for Clash?
Sometime in October, probably. Probably mid-October.
Yeah, probably a week out from the event.
Yeah, we'll drop it right after the deadline.
Sounds great. And then let everybody know how our practice games are going and everything.
Yes. All right. So that has been our build up. Honestly, this has been really fun because it's just something very different. I'm excited to see what Matt has picked for us, and then whether or not I have to go buy a bunch of models and paint stuff. Because a lot of models for me is like two. So,
or whether or not you're going to be receiving a package in the mail.
Yes. I'm going to get a package that's like Boromir with a banner, like stickers all around the package.
I know no lance. That's going to happen. Marcus is like, I can cut this banner off and it looks like a lance.
Guys, the banner broke. It's not my fault. So, all right. So that's it. We'll cut it off here. And then, yeah, the second part coming soon in a couple weeks. See you, everybody.
See ya.
Peace. Thank you.